Now turning to tahara, in general, the word tahara means purification. Now that you've understood the difference between clean and pure, let's focus on what we mean by being pure. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. Allah loves those who turn to Him. وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَّهِرِينَ. And He loves those who seek purity, who become pure. Tahara in general, this term tahara, this term purification, can actually apply to a whole array of different concepts within the deen. For example, there's tahara from shirk. That's one aspect of tahara. There's tahara from sin, purifying your body parts from sin. There's tahara from najasa, from impurities. For example, stool and urine and performing the wudu and doing the ghusl. So these are all tahara from impurities. And each of them is highly regarded within the Quran and the Hadith. And before we actually enter, the focus of the fiqh will be on the tahara of impurities. What is impure in the Sharia? When do we wash it? How do we wash it? How do we clean our clothes? How do we clean the ground? How do we clean our bodies? These are essential aspects because these are the things that allow you to open the door to salah. If your body's not pure, you can't pray your salah. If your ground is not pure, you cannot pray your salah. If your clothing is not pure, you cannot pray your salah. So these are the fundamental bases upon which you build your salah. Now if you build a $1 million mansion, but you build it on soft ground, it's going to sink. It doesn't matter how beautiful you've made the mansion. So if you know the fiqh of salah, and you've perfected the fiqh of salah, if you don't put it over a firm foundation of tahara, you will never be able to experience that deep, deep taste that exists within the salah. So this is why we focus on tahara. Within tahara, within the concept of purification, each type of impurity has a way by which it becomes purified. So I call it the tool of purity. That tool by which you can attain purity. For example, the kalima produces tahara from shirk. If somebody's heart is impure with the dirt and the filth of shirk, of associating a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but if they stand up and then say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, they automatically purify their heart from that shirk. So that is the tool. The kalima is the tool by which you purify the heart from shirk and you wash away its dirty effects. In fact, we know that the person who takes Islam, he becomes as if he's a newborn. Meaning the power of the kalima is so deep that it takes the level of shirk, the one sin that Allah does not forgive. That sin which can cause your heart to become sealed. That sin which forces Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath to take over His infinite mercy. That sin can be purified by simple words. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. It's just amazing. That's amazing. In fact, that's a huge blessing upon the people of this day and age. Regardless of the sin of shirk, of associating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He permits them to purify themselves by taking these words and running them through the heart of a person. If you look at the previous ummah, this didn't always exist. For example, at the time of Musa alayhi salam, when he left to go to the mountain in order to receive the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and while he was gone, his people began worshipping a calf in order to redeem themselves from that worship of the calf, that shirk that they did. They actually had to kill themselves. So the word of the kalima was not enough for them. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states relates this in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَيَقَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ. And when Musa said to his people, إِنَّكُمْ ظَلَمْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ بِاتِّخَاذِكُمْ الْإِجْلَ. Verily, you people have wronged yourselves by taking the calf for worship. فَتُوبُوا إِلَى بَارِئِكُمْ. So turn back to your Lord. Do tawbah to your Lord. فَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. How will you do tawbah to your Lord? You have to kill yourselves. فَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِنْدَ بَارِئِكُمْ. That is better for you in the eyes of your Creator. فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ. If you do this, then He will turn to you in repentance and accept your repentance. إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Verily He is the one who accepts repentance, turns to the person who turns to Him in repentance, and He is the Rahim, the Merciful. So in the case of Musa alayhi salam, for his people when they created this shirk within their heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala required that shirk to be purified by suicide, by killing themselves. So within this ummah, there's a great mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if we make the mistake of an error, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the simple words, astaghfirullah, with the simple words, astaghfirullah, that error can be removed from the heart. In fact, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? That the person who makes an error, a black dot comes upon his heart. A black dot comes upon his heart. And then he makes another error, another black dot comes. Another error, another black dot comes. Another error, another black dot comes, until his heart becomes completely black. Now then the question should be in our mind, in the Sharia, what is the way to attain tahara of the black heart? And it's simple. Istighfar and tawbah. The water of the earth washes dirt and filth from clothing, and the water of the eyes, meaning tears, washes dirt and filth from the heart. It's a great blessing of Allah that we have this ability to purify ourselves in such a way. The second beautiful thing that this highlights, that the tahara within our Sharia highlights, especially in the cases of shirk, in the cases of sin, in the cases of tawbah and istighfar, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us reusable. And you should think about this very deeply, because it contains an extreme degree of wisdom within our deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us reusable. What do we mean by that? Now in this day and age, when something goes bad, or something is no longer useful to you, what do? You just junk it. You just trash it and buy another one. In fact, even when a plate becomes dirty, we don't have the energy to go and clean it, and so now we use disposable plates. Disposable this, disposable that. Everything in our life has become disposable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not treat us as disposable products. If we happen to soil our heart and make it black, and in fact completely covered in darkness, and even if somebody has come with shirk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows that person to redeem themselves and allows the person to become recyclable. You can recycle yourself and come back before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of a new servant. Now, if you think about this wisdom, it highlights some very, very important aspects within our deen. When we use things, we should realize this. Now, in this day and age, we take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings and we dispose of them so easily. So easily. We'll take food that Allah gave us. Oh, it's not good anymore. Let's get fresh food. Dispose it. Dispose it. It's disposable. Throw it away. We have plates. We don't feel like washing our plates. We don't feel like washing a set of plates. So get disposable. Just throw it away. Everything has become disposable within our society. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us non-disposable. He makes us in a way that we can renew ourselves. And so when we treat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercies, we should not dispose of them, and we should realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to recycle ourselves, and so we should recycle His blessings as well. So when we eat, we shouldn't waste our food. We shouldn't just dispose of it. And we should be very careful how we use disposable products as well. Now going back to the tools, you should know that just as the kalima purifies from kufr, so does the heart become pure from tears and istighfar. And we've covered this in some detail. In fact, you find in certain narrations that according to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tawbah, the purification of tawbah and istighfar is so powerful that not only does it remove the effect of sin from your heart, but also it removes their effect in your book of deeds. Meaning when you make tawbah, a sincere tawbah, the angels are also commanded to erase that completely from your book of deeds. That's an enormous thing. That is a huge thing. Everything in this earth has a means of removal. For example, if you have a blackboard and you want to remove something on a blackboard, you have an eraser. That eraser will allow you to remove what's on the blackboard. On the computer, you have a delete button, or you have a reformat. You have a reformat command. That allows you to remove everything on the hard drive. You can reformat that hard drive. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to reformat ourselves. Istighfar is the eraser of your book of deeds. Just like the angels have a pen, and they take that pen and they write your deeds, istighfar and tawbah is the way you flip that pen and use the eraser to erase those bad deeds that you did. So it's a great blessing from Allah. Why not take advantage of it? Why not sit down and make istighfar regularly and think about our deeds? In fact, the Prophet ﷺ himself, the one who is ma'soom and protected by Allah from all forms of sin and from all forms of error, himself said, إِنَّهُ لَيُغَانُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِي. Verily, at times I feel a heaviness upon my heart. وَإِنِّي لَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ فِي الْيَوْمِ مِئَةَ مَرَّةٍ. And verily, I seek istighfar from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a day 100 times. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself is saying this. Why? Not because he needs to purify his heart. His heart is pure. But it's so that he can educate the ummah that there is an eraser by which those deeds within your book that you will be so ashamed of on the day of judgment that you will not be able to raise your face before anybody, those deeds can be erased with the simple effort of astaghfirullah. And so this is why our ulama say that within your daily habit of dhikr, you should establish istighfar as a regular form of dhikr. Every day after fajr and every day after maghrib, you should spend time making istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make that a habit. Inculcate that from today on. Every day after fajr, sit down 100 times, astaghfirullah. And every day after maghrib, for the sit down and say astaghfirullah 100 times. Now when I say astaghfirullah 100 times, I don't mean astaghfirullah, 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 as fast as you can get it done with, I'm done with my 100, let's move on and do what the more important things are in life. No! Sit down for 5 minutes. Sit down for 5 minutes at fajr and say, okay, yesterday maghrib I made istighfar. Starting at maghrib, let me run my life through my mind. Yesterday, after maghrib, I went home. I said a couple mean things to my wife. Astaghfirullah. I shouldn't have been angry. I have no right to be angry. I am just a servant of Allah. Then, as I went to pick up the groceries, my eyes by accident, how weak I am, fell upon something I shouldn't have seen. Astaghfirullah. Then, I went home. You know, I slept 7 hours. I probably could have slept 6 hours. Astaghfirullah. You know, then I woke up for the Fajr prayer, and I probably could have woken up 10 or 15 minutes early and gotten to the masjid early. Astaghfirullah. So run your day through your mind, because it's going to be run before you on the day of judgment. This videotape of your life will be run before you on the day of judgment. There's no doubt. We know that. Everybody has that belief. So why not spend 5 minutes editing that videotape before it gets presented to you on the day of judgment? Now we edit everything in this day and age. We edit our voice files, and we edit our computer, and we edit the things that we write. Why not edit your life? This videotape of your life, you had the opportunity to edit that book. Just like you would read and preview any book. If you ever want to write a book, you'll have an editor. You will give that book to an editor, and you will say, please review this book and find the errors, because I don't want my errors to be presented before the rest of mankind. When you're writing a book to present it before the rest of mankind, you'll take that book and give it to an editor so that nobody else will see those errors. What about the errors that you perform before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Don't those deserve to be edited? We are human beings. We will always make mistakes. That is part of our life. But the editorial aspect of our life, to sit down and run through your mind, especially the istighfar at maghrib. I woke up at fajr. I should have gone to the masjid. I didn't. Astaghfirullah. I went to work. You know, everybody was laughing and talking about something. I got involved in that conversation. For that few moments, I was so heedless of Allah. I was just like everybody else. Astaghfirullah. At breakfast, I ate a little bit too much. Oh Allah, you are supreme in your mercy. I am weak. Astaghfirullah. When I went to work, I interacted with some people in a way that I shouldn't have interacted. Astaghfirullah. As I was driving to work, I cut somebody off. Astaghfirullah. All of these things, run them through your mind. Reflect upon yourself. Reflect upon your deeds. Everybody has this ability within them. Everybody has the ability to edit their life. So this characteristic of becoming an editor exists within us. Everybody does it on a daily basis. The problem is we don't do it on our own lives, we do it on other people. So we say, look at that person, how come he came to the masjid late? Look at that person, how come he doesn't come to the masjid? Look at that person, how come she doesn't do such and such, or he doesn't do so and so? Instead of editing other people's lives, why not turn that and edit your own life? What good is it to you? In fact, it's a sin to edit their lives. That Muslim that you criticize or say something about, that person has taken the kalima and believes in Allah and His Messenger. Once somebody believes in Allah and His Messenger, you have no right to edit their life. You have no right to edit their life. You have no right to comment on their life. You can give them nasiha, quietly, in a beautiful way. But otherwise, this criticism, this editorial aspect that exists within our mind and our nafs, it has no right to be applied to other people. In this day and age, somebody stands up, we edit, oh look how he stood up. Somebody sits down, oh look how he sat down. Somebody eats, oh look how he was eating. That should be turned into ourselves, not towards other people. So make this an important aspect of your daily life. Istighfar. Don't worry about what other people do. Use it for yourself. And purify and edit that tape so that on the day of judgment you can avoid some of the great shame that will occur for each and every one of us.